T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
I'm just so proud of our, you know, everyone, the whole organization, you know, our coaches have put in so much work and effort getting us this point and preparing us every day. Just done an amazing job. And, you know, guys really come together. It's a really unique team. We have great chemistry. We have fun at practice. We work really hard to get this point, just like the other three teams remaining. So it's hard to get to this point. There's nothing guaranteed from this point forward. But, you know, we got to go out there and we're going to have to play our very best to beat one of the best teams in the league.
Tom Brady on to Green Bay next week for the NFC Championship game. For him, it's number 14. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. I'm not sure it would have been number 14 if he stayed here in New England. As we get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937, here's Eddie in a car. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? You guys are fun to listen to. You know, Tom Brady didn't go to a team that was one player away from winning it all. He went to a team that was 7-9 last year. So I know that maybe Brady's expectations and maybe the coach's expectations were, hey, we want to win a Super Bowl. But if I'm a fan of any team, and I'm a Patriots fan, I'm rooting for Brady, I thought from my own perspective was, you know what, if he can get them into the playoffs this year, they've done good. That's my perspective. That's the way I see things. And I think most fans probably do see things that way, because if you look at where he was and where he's going to, it's not like he was the champion, like he had won it last year, and now it's like anything less than winning.
Look at the receivers.
They're an average team. They were an average team.
Average team with
Tampa was an average team last year.
Godwin. I mean, come on. What are we talking about? They were an average team because they had a quarterback that was hideous. 30 interceptions, 9 fumbles. That was the problem. All I heard was, you know what, the defense is much better than people are giving him credit for, but the defense had to work real hard because their quarterback kept on coughing up the ball and forcing him out on the field.
That's even, that's a W.
Yeah, I know, but I agree with this guy. I don't think anyone thought that they were a quarterback away. We thought that was a good spot for a quarterback to go and put up good numbers, which is exactly what he did. I mean, I don't know, Evans and Godwin. Are they better than Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley?
They're right up there with them. Yeah,
are they better than them?
They might.
You think they're better than them? I don't.
Well, Julio Jones.
I think they're two very good, but I don't think they're better than Julio and Ridley.
I mean, I'd say you.
So what's wrong with Atlanta? They're quarterback away.
Well, Atlanta's
because they have two great wide receivers.
But wait a minute,
Matt Ryan's not a teacher.
No, I'm just saying they have two great wide receivers. Like, are they a quarterback away? Like, we looked at Tampa and said, yeah, Brady go down and have a lot of fun. He's got better weapons than he has here. He's got two great wide receivers, and he's got, you know, an underachieving tight end in O.J. Howard. Cam Brate's okay. He brought Gronk out of retirement, but I don't know. Maybe I think we just fell in this trap of he's got two great wide receivers. They're a quarterback away from winning. No, he's quarterback away from having a lot of fun offensively.
So,
but
after watching yesterday's game,
a lot of good wide receiver tandems, teams aren't good.
But you can look at it either way. We could look at what they did yesterday and say, oh, my God, Devin White back because he didn't play a week ago. That makes a huge difference in their defense. Their defense is really good when you think about it. Run defense has always been good, but they're good against the pass. Or you can sit here and look at it the other way and say Drew Brees just over the hill. And he just sucked.
I don't think he's over the hill. I just think
game.
He had to pick the bad day
games.
To have a really bad game.
I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers.
And
is
I would say all of it. I mean,
it,
like most interceptions, some are purely on the quarterback. Others, it's the receiver. And then obviously the fumble by Jared Cook. Like, so Jared Cook, poor Jared Cook. That's the guy we almost got here. The Patriots almost had
after a big catch too.
fumble, which is bad. And then here's, this is funny because those plays, when they go bad, if you're the guy that fumbles that ball, you, the only way you get bailed out is if the defense bails you out. Three and out. They, you know, they don't get any points, no field goal, no nothing. That's the only way you get bailed out of that situation. What made it worse for him is that the Bucs go down and they get points. But just doubles the pain. And then he's involved in, I would say, another interception of Drew Brees because he goes up to try and get it. Maybe it's wrong. He kind of tips it. And then it gets picked off again. So he is personally responsible for like 10 points given up. Like, not Drew Brees. And that's it. 10 points. It wasn't like they were blowing the doors off him. The Bucs really couldn't move the ball.
No,
they couldn't.
And it's a good defense. New Orleans is a very good defense. That's why I thought they're going to win. I didn't think they're going to turn the ball over four times. You know, that's why I thought New Orleans was going to win that game.
Yeah, I didn't think Patrick Mahomes was going to get a concussion.
The other thing is like, you know, we all love Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. But when they signed Tom Brady, so 18 and 19, when he was last 2 years here in New England, he wasn't a top 10 quarterback in the league. He wasn't. And I know that pisses off like the pro people, the pro Brady things. I get it. But 2017 is the last time he was. And so they got a guy the last couple of years who's still a very good quarterback, a professional, knows how to win, you know, will bring professionalism to that locker room, bring credibility to that team and that locker room, and that's what they did. And he took them to heights that I think that they felt they could make, but I think they're pleasantly surprised that they could take this team to an NFC title game. Now, this year, I don't know, someone told me, tweeted at me, whatever, the Pro Football Focus had the number two quarterback in the league this year.
Who?
Pro Football Focus?
Had who? Brady?
Yeah. And my response was they had Jacoby Myers, the 25th best wide receiver.
Yeah, I would.
But number two? I mean, if you look at quarterback rating and you know, percentages and things like that, like, he was still like eighth this year, I think, or ninth. He was good this year. But you tell me, was he better than Aaron Rodgers? Was he better than Pat Mahomes?
No.
I mean, is he better than Josh Allen this year?
Well, that's why a lot of those
analytics. Deshaun Watson?
The analytics are very deceiving.
I don't think he's top five. But he's still a good quarterback, a very good quarterback. You know, but I don't think that they felt like they were getting the greatest quarterback of all time.
Sure.
To sit there, I mean, like currently, as is, like right now, the greatest football player, quarterback rather, in the league, and that's going to put him over the top. That's going to make him a much better team, but not Super Bowl favorites. Well, they weren't the Super Bowl favorites.
You got a coach out of it, too.
They were like sixth, seventh preseason.
David is up next here in EEI. Hi, David.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So here's the thing. Everybody picked against Brady this weekend. Yes, let's face it. Brees had a bad game, sort of a bad game. But at the end of the day, you know, I think people forget one thing, and this is what's a shame on New England fans. They become such homers, and it's so upset that Brady left. I'm a fan. I'm a season holder of the New England Patriots. Am I upset that Brady left? Of course I am. But, you know, at the same time, I wish him well, and I do want him to win. I picked him to win, and I, on this show, to you guys, I picked them as a winner this weekend, and I am picking them against Green Bay as well.
Look at you. Yeah.
Guys, listen. Brady has some of his best numbers in the cold and snow weather, in wet weather. Mm. His accuracy and everything else. He's going to go into Green Bay, and you guys wait and see. He will control that game, and they will walk out of there as well.
See, you know, spoken like a true, you know, New England Patriot fan. That's it. Spoken, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how much adversity, weather, Brady will figure it out. And to their credit,
he usually does.
He usually does, because I saw a lot of people who were like looking at the line and looking at the game and looking at the past two games where the Bucs got killed. And then they went to that old adage, that we used to use all the time here with the Patriots, picking the Patriots when Brady was the quarterback. Yeah, you know, but they got Tom Brady.
Five wide, put Brady in the gun.
They got Tom Brady.
It was Brady and Bill.
Brady
will scheme it. Brady will execute.
I'm not picking against Tom Brady.
Nope.
I've been wrong. All they did was transfer their opinion to Brady as a Patriot to Brady as a Buck. So he brought that credibility with him.
Don't bet against him. I've already heard this, the cold weather in Tom Brady's history. But let's also remember that Tom Brady and the rest of the team that he's played for over the years was practicing all week and living in that cold environment. So teams were coming in here and overwhelmed by the cold and the conditions. Tom Brady was accustomed to it. He even mentioned it yesterday in the postgame. Now suddenly you're living in Tampa. He's talked a lot about the weather and how wonderful it is on his body every single day. Now your body is going to get that culture shock when you go up there to 20 degree weather at Lambeau. That we have to wait and see. But people are using the history of Tom Brady and cold weather, that suddenly is going to make him a favorite in this. I would think that would be an advantage for Aaron Rodgers, since they're living it every day up there.
The history would tell you that this is not going to end the way it should end. History would tell you that. Past old quarterbacks going, they usually fall short of the ultimate goal, which is the Super Bowl.
So you're already giving us your pick.
No, I'm going to pull a Teddy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick the Patriots to the Bucks to lose, pick them to win.
Let's do this. So Teddy's on the program with us on Wednesday, and Ryan, if you can put it up there, he gave us what he thought was his prediction for this game between the Saints and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, fellas, I'm trying to. I mean, I rewatched both games, and you know, of course, the playoff games and all that stuff with these two teams, and I'm like, okay, how can this Buccaneer team figure something out to beat the Saints? Because I mean, I'd say Bruce Arians and adjustments, I really don't put in the same sentence. That's the one thing that's sort of taken me away from the Buccaneers and leaning towards the Saints in this game, just because of that lack of change. This Saints team's really good, and I think the Saints team is better coached.
Analysis based on watching the All-22s and really analyzing the game, and he made all the sense in the world. So then he goes on TV on Sunday, and this is what he says.
A lot of Brady talk this show, okay? A lot of talk about Antonio Brown, his offensive weapons. But I'm telling you, these two names we haven't talked about, that they are paramount to their success, it's Donovan Smith and Tristan Wirfs, okay? They're the two offensive tackles for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes. And if they can't win versus Hendrickson and Cam Jordan, it'll be a long day. I think they do their job. I think they protect Tom Brady. And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get that win.
Ooh. Is he pulling a Fourier?
No, he did. Yeah, he did.
So he did.
Well, hold on. Show
on one Wednesday,
show in defense on of Sunday? Our favorite guest.
Go to the yay.
In defense of our favorite guest, he said leaning towards the Saints.
Oh, please.
Leaning. He didn't say I'm picking. He said I'm leaning. And it's a Wednesday, so things change. He has like four more days to figure it out. And he changed his mind. He didn't change his mind. He made up his mind.
He I'm Giselle wondering. Watching.
Yeah,
Alex Guerrero checking it out pregame.
I'd say Bruce Arians and adjustments, I really don't put in the same sentence.
And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get that win.
I'm with Lou on this one. I think he's realized that Giselle does not listen to our show down there from Tampa.
And
that she might pick up something he says on ESPN, or Tom might pick it up. Yeah. I think that might have persuaded him to go in one direction or the other. Here's the always crazy Jake in Boston. What do you got, Jake? Hello, Jake.
I'm happy.
Oh, jeez. Get your finger on the dump button.
Glenn.
Yes, Jake.
Glenn.
Get ready, Lou.
Happy 70th birthday. I know you have hard
Thank
of
you,
hearing,
brother.
But happy 70th birthday.
I am
birthday.
Not hard of hearing, but talk slower.
All right. Well, the more things change, the more they stay the same, because as Al from Everett will probably point out, Bill Belichick has won one playoff game without Tom Brady. It was against Drew Bledsoe, so it basically doesn't count. Anyways, I'm going to help you out with your comparison here as to what's going on in Foxborough right now with something that you'll remember, but no one else will. What's happening now with Josh McDaniels running out the door is basically fall of Saigon, and Josh is on that last helicopter out of there. That's how bleak things are right now. And Nick Caserio looks like he went from a Saigon penthouse to the outhouse of Detroit.
Nine, so why are they all eight, leaving? Yeah, thank you. Why seven, are they all leaving the 49ers now? The 49ers Saigon. There. All the coaches are leaving. Why are they all leaving?
Glenn, you remember this thing that happened in the 60s, yeah, right, when people were scared of communism? He's well, this crazy. Applies to my football take.
Or a theater play.
That dude can wear you out. Here's Scott. Scott's in New Hampshire. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I got a question for Glenn, really. Mm. If Tampa Bay was just one quarterback away, where would you draw the line in the league? Do you think that if Alex Smith had gone to Tampa Bay that they would be in the NFC championship game this year?
No.
So then how are they a quarterback away? They needed a top-end quarterback?
Yeah, they needed a good quarterback and a quarterback that was not going to make mistakes.
A good quarterback.
That was not going to make mistakes, that was not going to turn over the ball. So last year they had 7 wins. It wasn't because they were a bad team. It was because they had a quarterback who had apparently a uniform identification issue. And he was turning the ball over. Think about this.
39.
30. Okay, and 9 fumbles. No, 39 times he turned the ball over. Are you kidding me? That's horrendous.
I understand.
And they were in a lot of those games.
I understand that, but so then where is the line? So if you have the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, but he doesn't turn the ball over.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had put a better quarterback than Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Patrick Mahomes on that team, I would guess that they would go even further. But Tom Brady is much better than what they had a year ago. And the other thing we know about Brady is, we've seen it with Cam Newton, is he doesn't make those mistakes. Okay.
Thank All you. Right.
But I just, I don't know where he was going with
some
that.
Miss Saigon but, music, please.
I don't think Tampa was a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl. I just don't. Because, again, like that'd be the same. If they got rid of Matt Ryan and Brady went to Atlanta, you'd say, oh, my God. He'd do the same thing. He'd be going with 2 great wide receivers, have opportunity to put up huge numbers, which he did this year, but doesn't necessarily mean they're a Super Bowl contending team just because he went there. Because they had 2 great wide receivers, you know, and a good tight end. They got, what, Hayden Hurst there now, too? So you'd say, they're going to be a Super Bowl team because now they got Brady? Like,
well, no.
No, and that's what we did with Tampa. They had 2 great wide receivers. And all of a sudden, we thought they were a quarterback away from winning it all.
Well, I think other guys have gotten better. Certainly, we've talked a lot about Devin White. He was their draft pick a year ago. And Devin White has blossomed into a hell of a player. Well, you know. It's just not him. I mean, you can look at other guys on that team that have certainly gotten a hell of a lot better. Antoine Winfield, who was a draft pick this year, he's a rookie, made a big play in the game yesterday. He's been very good for them, right? So they have done a good job, Lou, of being able to draft, and they added pieces. And Antonio Brown was a big piece for the last 3 weeks. He's been a big piece for them. Hmm. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll look at some of the other games yesterday, including a bizarre call in the game that could have given Cleveland an opportunity to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. All of that and more still to come right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Two things about this play that I hate. Number one, I hate the fact that the ball goes back to the defensive team on their own 20-yard line, a touchback. I think it's a very extreme rule. And number two, this should be a reviewable play in the NFL.
I'm disappointed in the refs that they missed that call, and it should be a reviewable play, especially with, you know, us making an emphasis on keeping players healthy. You should be able to look at that play again and then throw a flag afterwards.
When you look at that, it is too severe of a penalty. You know, the offense did not lose the ball. It went out of bounds. Yeah, I say put the ball to 20, but give it back to the offense. They didn't lose the ball.
Right.
20 yards is already the most severe penalty there would be in football as it is. Mm. It's a 20-yard penalty, but they should not lose the football.
CBS crew at halftime of the Cleveland-Kansas City game. It was a gigantic play that went against Cleveland as Rashard Higgins tried to extend the ball past the goal line. Instead, he was the victim of the ball getting loose, bouncing out of the end zone, and therefore Kansas City got possession of the ball on the 20-yard line. And as it was pointed out there by Boomer, you could also look back at it and say there was head-to-head contact as well. But none of that is reviewable. Now, we've discussed this before. I hate this rule. This is stupid. This makes no sense.
Yeah, I remember fighting about this with Lou on the other side, you know, thinking that the runner basically had to finish the move and he had the burden of proof. But when you really, really think about it, it's like, all right, give me the why. Like, why should the runner be punished? So I lose the ball. Nobody touches it. It just goes out of the back of the end. So why should the defense benefit by getting the ball, because they don't do anything. You know, all they do is tackle you, or maybe they're just playing defense.
When there's like a questionable fumble and there's a pile and they review it, one of the things they say is that like that there wasn't clear evidence that, of the other team securing the fumble. So we can't overturn it. Meanwhile, on this play, there's no evidence at all. The other team never secures the football. They never have control of the football. If you fumble it going towards the end zone and it gets out at the 1 yard line, it's still your football because you're the last person to have possession. But yet if it goes and hits the pylon, it's the other team's at the 20? Like, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, I don't know. Like, they're saying, like, you should get the ball in the 20. So I don't know what the rule would be. You know, put the ball back at the 20. Hell, if it's like, if you're second and goal or if it's second down, and if that got you a first down, then maybe it's first and goal from the 20. Well, if that was second down when you did it, maybe it's second and goal from the 20. At least give the team an opportunity. At least try to kick a field goal. The other team never possesses the football, and you just give it to them. It makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense in that there's no other position on the field where a fumble that travels out of bounds is returned to the other team.
And that was a huge play. Gigantic. Like you were talking gigantic. About, what did you think was the biggest play of the game?
Fourth and one for Kansas City.
That's a big play.
That closed it out. Right.
But this one here, You're about to make it a 16-10 game. You know, this happens. They go down and kick a field goal. Now it's 19-3. I mean, that is just, you were going to be down 6, and now you're down 16. Like, and you lose by 5. Like, that's just a ridiculous rule that I don't think anyone can make any sense of, why the other team gets the football.
So maybe what you do, because we've changed the rules in the last couple of years to all you have to do is extend the ball and touch that white line, and it is a touchdown. The ball can be knocked free from that point on, and it's irrelevant. It's already a touchdown. So that's what everybody tries to do, and that's what Higgins was trying to do there. He just didn't quite reach that white line. So if you're going to penalize the team, and you don't like having it go out of the end zone, then put them back, as Cowher said, on the 20-yard line.
Yeah.
So Cleveland now gets the ball on the 20-yard line. How is it that you hand it over to the other
makes
team?
Makes no sense.
Makes none whatsoever.
There's no possession.
And we've debated this one numerous times, and this play keeps on coming up.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. I don't think anybody likes it. From the sounds of it, nobody likes it.
I like it.
You do like it. Why do you like it?
You're rewarding the defensive team for making a great special play on the goal line. If it goes out to the sideline, then obviously they don't deserve it, but you're forcing a play. They've earned it by forcing a fumble in the end zone.
I understand that.
The rules are totally different in the end zone than anywhere else.
It's a great defensive play that probably keeps a team from scoring a touchdown.
They've earned it.
Great defensive play is going to give them probably just an opportunity to kick a field goal. So your great defensive play maybe saves four points. But that great defensive play was great, but you didn't recover the fumble.
So the better question is, if you don't like the rule, then what's the alternative? Do you put it at the spot of the fumble, back to the 20-yard line?
Back to the 20.
Well, if it goes
touchback.
I mean, if it goes out the back of the end zone, it should be, well, back to the 20, loss of down.
Maybe, yeah.
Loss of down, because we're not going to give you a solid by letting you do that down over, so you lose the down. So if it's third and whatever, now it's fourth, then you got to hit a field goal from the 20.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like last time we discussed it, there is something to be said for finishing the play. So you're the one that fumbled it. You're the one that fumbled it outside the back of the end zone. The rules are pretty clear about what happens when you do that.
Well, I think that's your argument. That was your argument.
Yeah,
I believe. That would be like Bill's reasoning. Listen, we all know what the rules are.
Yeah.
We all know what we can and can't do. We teach. We don't want our players to do that because that could happen. And if it does, it's your responsibility. You got to take accountability because you know what will happen if you fumble out of the end zone.
So
we've gone over this many, many times. So you know what? Hang with them. We deserve this. But that's only because he's playing by the rules, the rule book, and he's just coaching his players up. I think even he would still admit that they got to get rid of this.
Listen,
rule.
Even Stefanski was basically calling out Higgins. Like, hey, listen, he knows what he has to
do. Yeah, I know.
Every football player knows that if they decide to reach their hands out with the ball, they are putting themselves in a precarious position. You just can't control it. So you better have a clean path to that pylon. Now, again, with that being said, there's a ton of rules that where the penalty doesn't justify the actual flag. You know what I mean? Like we were talking about pass interference, talking about holding, incidental contact, all that stuff. Over and over and over again. I agree with you. I hate when I see incidental contact to the face by some defensive back who just accidentally touched or grazed the face mask of a receiver, and he's not even in the play. They get an automatic first down.
Well, I have a bigger problem with this one, and that is that Daniel Sorensen led with the helmet, and he hit Higgins' helmet at the exact point the contact was made when the ball was released from Higgins' hands.
Yeah.
So to me, how is it that they have this rule in for safety reasons? It oversees any other rule. If you have the helmet to helmet, all of the other rules go out the window. That's the one that you enforce, and they don't even see this?
No, well,
and
that's to that point, you could argue that an illegal hit caused that fumble.
There's no question it did.
It's an illegal hit.
I think there's helmet no question. Helmet to
helmet. See, right? this is why I love the playoffs, because these small, there's like one or two plays that literally can make the difference, can be the difference between winning
and
losing.
The rules.
And then they end up changing. Now, see, this touchback rule, though, they've never changed it. There's debate over it. There's a play like this that screws another team, and everybody universally says this is a stupid rule.
But it needs to happen in the postseason. It needs more attention. And we saw that with, like, you know, the pass interference with New Orleans a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just saying, like, you know, it's, you need it on the biggest stage. And I really hope that, you know, the 5-yard automatic first down holding, I hope that pops up too, because I think that rule's stupid. 3rd and 20, 5-yard penalty, automatic first down. Just make the penalty 10 or 15 yards. Let's make it 15. If it's enough for a first down, but it's, you know, 3rd and 30, you know, 15-yard penalty, 3rd and 15.
Yeah, see, I'm all right with that because, you know, I'll let you speak in a second, Tyler. Let me finish this thought.
Next question will be from Tyler.
The issue is, like, okay, so if you're holding, you're saying, oh, just give him an automatic first down. Well, what if you're holding eliminated my ability to score a touchdown? Because I was going to be wide ass open. Like, what if with the Saints game against the Bucks, the double pass by Jameis Winston, what if that guy was held? That's a touchdown. That's 6 points off the board.
I told you they do this in college football. What was your reaction?
Well, that's college football.
But that's what they always do. They don't bitch. Well, to some point, you get to the pros where they just will stop bitching about it.
Yeah.
Well, college, that's the way the rule is.
College football, that would have been reviewable. The head-to-head contact would have been reviewable, and that guy would have been tossed out of the game probably.
Well, we don't
okay?
That.
That's what would have happened. And that's an issue I have as well. How is that not reviewable? If we're talking about head-to-head contact being the most important safety issue in the National Football League, they put a priority on it, and you don't have it reviewable in that case?
What do you got, Tyler?
You guys asked why they haven't changed this end zone touchback rule. This, according to Bleacher Report, when the NFL Competition Committee Chairman Rich McKay explained a couple of years ago why that rule hasn't been changed, he said, quote, there were 8 instances this year, 3 the year before, and 3 the year before that. We did not believe that it merited a proposal. So these game-changing plays don't happen enough to even for them to consider it.
Well, it will now.
So it has
because
to be
I would imagine Cleveland's going to bring it to their attention.
Absolutely.
Because it happened in a playoff game on your biggest stage.
Yeah, it's like when New Orleans got screwed a couple of years ago and they changed the rules.
That's always bugged me. So like the biggest issues, like those the forefront issues, for the most part, have been the pass interference, the, you know, defenseless player, stuff like that that is actually could physically hurt somebody or completely turn the tide. The fact that this play comes rarely, I would say that, okay, so then if it comes up rarely, just change it. And then, what you know, that's fine. Like, how much effort does it really take?
And Christian, doesn't every NFL game be swayed by one or two plays? And that is a game-changing play where you're taking 7 points off the board.
It was yesterday. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
And people could look at it at the time and say, well, Cleveland's not going to win this game anyway. But that could have been the difference of Cleveland winning the game based on the Mahomes injury.
I'm into common sense rules. That's what I'm into. This one makes no sense.
It'd be nice to extend it to the rest of your life.
So, yeah. Christian, explain a catch to me. What's a catch in the NFL?
Good question. Okay.
Common sense.
Common sense. It's like when you see porn.
You know, when you see
it. When I see it, that's a catch.
This hour of OMF brought to you by
Audi. It's a MILF scene.
Village of Norwell. We get back to the phone calls and your reaction to the games you watched this weekend at 617-779-7937.
On Twitter
at Lou Berlone.
I obviously agree with Lou.
But what? I don't know what the hell I even said.
Back to OMF
on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. You can only imagine how beside themselves they are in Cleveland today with Sports Talk Radio, because they actually had,
I'd be so pissed.
They actually had an opportunity to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs when Mahomes went down. And the question now is whether Mahomes is going to be able to play on Sunday, and we'll get into that a little bit later on in the week, but what a dramatic difference that would be. Chad Haney or Patrick Mahomes against the Buffalo Bills. To the phone calls we go. Here's Michael in a car. Michael?
How you doing, guys?
Good, Mike.
Good afternoon. Hey, that hit yesterday, it should have been a personal foul. Targeting, I think it's called, because they had the referee guy. I can't remember his name.
Helmet to helmet.
Right. Hockley?
Yes.
Sean Hockley.
Oh my God. Yes, they had him on, and he said it too. It should have been a personal foul, definitely.
Yes. Right. We agree.
And he can't believe they didn't call it either.
I know. Yeah.
It's 5 we o'clock somewhere.
Shockley. Not even 4:20 yet.
I think his name was Shockley.
Shockley.
Here's Kyle in a car. Yes. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, I want to explain why the fumble out of the end zone rule does make sense.
Okay.
So, listen, real quick. So, when you score a touchdown in the end zone, you're scoring in your opponent's end zone. That's their territory that you got to invade. If you lose the football, if you don't have possession of it and it goes out of their end zone, I think it's all the fairness in the world to give it back to the other team. And this isn't the first time it happened in a playoff game either. Christian, you remember Brady's first playoff loss up in Denver? Remember when Ben Watson chased down Champ Bailey? It was the same thing. Obviously, it wasn't the same outcome, but... You know what I mean? I just think the rule does make sense.
No, I do think there is some responsibility, I will say that, Kyle, for the offensive player who is holding the ball to finish the play. Like it's almost like he gets a get out of jail free card. Like he fumbles it, it goes out of the back of the end zone. Okay, well, okay, no penalty. Okay, even because I do think there is some responsibility by the ball carrier to finish the play.
Oh,
and he just doesn't get a pass because he fumbles it. He fumbles it.
But it's not a penalty. It's a turnover.
No, I know. But that's my point is that, yeah, so he's penalized. It's a turnover. And he gets also, so he should get penalized for fumbling the ball.
See, I think it's an interesting way of looking at it, Kyle. That like the end zone is theirs, but I can't go with that. Like, I don't think it's theirs. I think you have to possess the football to recover a fumble.
Well, the problem I have with the rule is you used to have to do that to cross the goal line. And then they changed the rule to basically say all you have to do is stretch the ball and the tip of the ball just has to touch that white line. That's it. So when you do that, you're going to have a lot more of this, right? So... people, and that's exactly what Higgins was trying to do. He was trying to extend it because he knew that if he got the tip of the football on the goal line, he's got himself a touchdown. But it's going to be much easier for the ball to get loose and free, and that's why, to me, the rule doesn't make that much sense.
No, I don't like it.
It's far too penalizing of the offensive team. Dominic is in Worcester here on OMF. Dominic?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I mean, I don't like or dislike the rule, I guess, because you just got to remember what happens on the other side of the field. If it was a safety situation and they're being tackled in their end zone, they can kick it through the back or through the side. It's never possessed by the defense, but they are awarded the ball and 2 points.
Well, it just makes right. Okay.
I mean, it's just the opposite way. I mean, it sucks that it's a turnover. No other spot in the field other than the end zones are they awarded the ball if it goes out of bounds without
that
being possessed, but in the end zones.
Right.
I just don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I just don't think it's. I don't like it. I don't think it makes any sense. It just doesn't. It's impossible for me to kind of change possession when another team doesn't possess the football.
Okay, so let me just talk this out because, so I'm a defender. Okay, the second to last caller's point, I think it was Kyle. I'm defending my end zone. This is my territory. You try to invade it, to use his words. I stop you. And in the chaotic mess, you cough the ball up and it goes out the back of my territory. Okay, so based on, Wild Wild West rules, prospecting rules, okay, it now belongs to me.
It's in my territory?
It's in my territory. So it's now my possession. I own it. So I do, there is something to that. So because I do feel like the person who fumbles it and coughs it up, like if it goes out the back of the area that I'm defending, you shouldn't get a pass. Like you should be penalized somehow.
Yeah, penalized 20 yards.
So that's, I guess it depends on how much do you want to penalize them.
I just think there's people like just the last couple trying to justify it. Like are just looking too deep into it. Like sometimes you just take a step back. Dude, we have fumbles. When we have a fumble, we need a clear recovery. Is we'll do that anywhere else in the field. We need a clear recovery before that's why we review every turnover. We want to see the recovery. We want to make sure, the interception, the guy's feet were in bounds or the guy clearly recovered it. Like all these things. It's about a clear recovery from the other team before we can award you the football. Except on this stupid play.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense. And again, it doesn't make any sense, guys, in that you can put the football ahead of you and all you have to do is touch the tip on the white line and then the ball could be loose and it's already a touchdown. It could go out of the end zone at that point, but it's already a touchdown. It's not like you carried it in, possessed it, got into the end zone, and then fumbled. Nope.
See, the other one that I didn't like was Godwin's drop, his touchdown catch that he ended up not finishing the play. So he catches the ball. Both feet are in bounds. He falls out of the end zone. And as he's falling out of the back of the end zone, he loses the ball. In my opinion, once his body leaves the back of the end zone after completing the catch with both feet in bounds, the play should be over.
He's
out of the back of the end zone. He should get credit for a touchdown. We're not talking about a sideline play where he's fumbling it and bobbling it. Right. He caught the ball. Both feet were inbound. As he was exiting the back of the end zone, he turned and lost the ball.
So if he was falling in the end zone and that happened?
See, I mean,
well, if it's a runner, it could be different.
It could be different. Like, you catch the ball, like you're in the middle of the end zone. You catch it, and on the way down, the ball hits the ground, it pops up. What you're saying is you get 2 feet in, you're in bounds. You've executed the catch.
It's
now,
over.
Out of bounds, when you land, you kind of lose possession, but you're already out of bounds. It's over.
Yeah, it's like there's no extension of the out of bounds. Like, you catch it, the play is over, you fall out of bounds, that's it.
I think that they have, we've seen that enough for everyone to sit there and say, that's not a catch. That's all. I just, when that happened, I'm like, there's no way that's a catch. Just because of the way they have called it.
No, I know, but I agree with you.
But it doesn't mean it's right.
And I would say, like, to me, as a receiver, so what I do out of bounds has nothing to do with what's going on inside the white lines.
It lacks consistency.
It just
does.
That to me, that one doesn't make sense. I don't like that one.
But a runner does not have to possess the ball going into the end zone. All they have to do is touch the tip of the ball over the white line.
I'm fine with that. So if I cross the plane, even at the slightest, no matter what happens, I've already done it. I've achieved my goal, which is to cross the ball across the plane of the end zone. That's it. So if I get hit, punched, knocked around, whatever, it doesn't matter. So I'm fine with that one.
Oh, let me give you this one then. Slant route. And the guy crosses the line. He's 2 yards out or a yard out. He catches the ball. He reaches forward with the right hand, puts the ball slightly over the line, and then the ball comes loose. Okay? How different is that from what you were just talking about?
Yeah, see, that was
Cameron Braid in the end line.
That was a Super Bowl play. No, that was the Philadelphia Eagles had a play like that, but it was because the Patriots got hit with a similar play to that earlier in the year. The Eagles, Ertz catches that pass, and he kind of loses it. And it was like, did he finish the play? And he did. He controlled it, crossed the goal line, and there was no issues. So,
why didn't he finish the play at the end of the end zone, the one you were just talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. We can do this all day.
Here's Linda in a car. Linda.
Hi, Big O and guys.
Hi,
this is not why I'm calling, but I just wanted to say I couldn't believe that they didn't call helmet to helmet. Yesterday it was awful and I agree. Cleveland, it just did a number on Forget About Cleveland. Anyway, what I did call is because this might be crazy, but I've been seeing a lot of crazy things lately. So you guys need to kind of assuage my fears here.
Okay.
I've had this weird feeling in my stomach seeing Brady play. He seems very happy. It almost seems like he's been let out of prison. And I've heard a number of negative comments about, you know, New England and all that kind of thing. Are there any chances at all that Brady doesn't go into the Hall of Fame as a Patriot?
No.
There's no such thing. They don't go in by a team.
But no chance. I mean,
yeah.
Listen,
the Hall of Fame.
I think some of the negative stuff, I don't even know if you're hearing it from him or others.
It's not by him. He's not doing any of that.
I don't think there's any doubt that Tom Brady went down to Tampa Bay and was just like, you know, oh, I don't know if we're disciplined enough. I don't. There's a lot of stuff we have to fix, but man, this is a lot different, right? And even Rob Gronkowski's talking about it as well. Just to not playing for someone other than Bill Belichick is probably a lot easier. Not that he doesn't appreciate Bill Belichick's way and like the winning that goes with it. That's obvious. But at this point in his career, he maybe just wants to loosen the reins a little bit. His last couple years of the game. And, by the way, they're in the NFC title game. So you can't say it didn't quite work.
Yeah, I don't think
we'll
I'd
see.
Sit there and
if they can finish it off.
And I've seen people say this
long-term. I don't think he hates New England.
Long-term, this could be a problem. Tom Brady never comes back. Stop it. We know that. We've seen this with other relationships in the past. They always work out. There are too many great memories. All of that stuff will go by the wayside. Let me throw this one out at you because we had two other games yesterday. Is anybody questioning whether Lamar Jackson and the way he plays the game is a style where you can win Super Bowls?
Well, listen, I don't think he is. I don't think it is. And I would also say that they didn't have a great game. They didn't have a great game just collectively as a team. Missed field goals, botched snaps. I mean, they just really played like crap.
Line play was weak, too.
They just played them. You think when they had like almost a 99-yard, you know, interception return for a touchdown. I mean, they played bad. So, but when I look at teams, and I remember when I was covering this thing called college football, when Lamar Jackson was in college, he destroyed the average teams. Teams that just didn't have fast, highly recruited, highly rated football players.
Undisciplined.
And they didn't have a lot of them. Like, he destroyed them. But whenever he played a team that had good team speed and were coached well and they had good players, he struggled. He couldn't get outside. He didn't have those long runs. They all were real disciplined as far as their lane and all that gap integrity crap. But he struggled. They had good corners that could cover. He had to hold on to the ball. And when he did run, they were able to catch him. So this, to me, will follow him wherever he goes. If he has, as young as he is, as fast as he is, he's only going to get slower. I would say this is his nemesis. Unless he has a really good defense and they play perfect, he's going to have to make these big plays. And ultimately, I just don't think he can do it on a consistent basis.
Yeah, he's going to have to throw the ball more consistently. And, you know, I don't know if the same trajectory as say, like Josh Allen, you know what I mean? Because they're both in the same year, right? So year three, Allen played probably more his rookie year. But still, it's like when you look at Lamar Jackson right now, just like Josh Allen, like he needs another wide receiver. You know, Marquise Brown is good for the deep ball, kind of hiding behind you. Willie Snead ain't getting it done. A lot of these wide receivers that are out there, you go get a possession wide receiver that he could throw the ball. Because I thought that was the impressive thing against Tennessee, was after they were down, it was just one step, two step drop, get rid of the football. All the passes were, maybe throwing the ball to the fullback, but all the passes were quick, get the ball out of his hands. But you need to get a number one wide receiver in there.
Yeah,
and if Marquise Brown, the guy that if everybody sleeps on, he could throw the ball deep. But you get a guy like Allen Robinson or Galladay, somebody like that to go with Andrews, and then he's got to show that he can throw the ball, like Josh Allen did with Diggs.
So that's the question I have, because I agree with you. He needs a number one receiver, and there's no doubt about it. But I to me, he's fun to watch, and just when you think he's in serious trouble, he'll run it for 46 yards or something like that. But you can't trust him in the game. And the other thing he does, he needlessly, in big third downs, takes like a 15 or 18 yard loss. I mean, he does.
Yeah,
some
but I know.
Stuff
but once
like
in a while, like
you.
That 15 yard loss, like he hop over like a broken tackle and he can gain 30 on it, right? And that's why he's keeping plays alive. But what do you think Josh Allen will be like this year without Diggs? I and you're still throwing the ball to John trouble. Brown and I mean, Cole Beasley and Dawson
yeah, but,
Knox.
But their
I don't
offense
think a receiver
is,
better
offense,
than Diggs
the
this
offense
year.
Is totally different. I would say the what will be interesting is to see what Baltimore decides to do. Because eventually, he just finished his third year, he's going to his fourth year, he's in his rookie deal, so they're going to have an option to pick up after his fourth year. Decide whether or not they're going to be all in with him or not. I don't know if you do. I don't know if you commit these big-time dollars because you're beholden to that style of play forever.
See, to me, that's why you got to go out and you got to go get one of those wide receivers. And you got to have one of those show-me years, like Josh Allen did throwing the football with Diggs.
Yeah, I'm not sure I trust Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but who do you think?
Well,
who do you
let me
think
ask you, did you trust Josh Allen before this year?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
but hold on. But who
but
do
he
you
can
think?
Throw the ball much better, I think, than Lamar Jackson.
I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, I think he's more accurate.
Well, yeah. I'm not so sure people are saying that. I mean, he was a complete mess. Are you kidding me? Like, the biggest problem with Josh Allen was accuracy. He was a train wreck. He was awful.
Well, I think his decision-making was awful. That was his biggest problem, I think.
And
man. You're right. You're right. Stephon Diggs.
Glenn,
I think
telling
Stephon
you, people
Diggs
are ripping his accuracy, his decision-making,
I've never heard,
everything.
I've never heard anyone on this show rip his accuracy.
Never.
What did you say?
Never.
Oh, what?
Josh Allen was like 50% like his first 2 years.
And by the way, do we have to waste any time talking about the Green Bay and the Rams game? Can we pass on that? We got a bunch of other stuff to talk about. We don't have to really talk about that game, do we? Other than Aaron Rodgers, pretty damn good. MVP, pretty damn good.
See, that's the one thing. Those
earlier in the show. The boring game. That was a boring game.
It was a boring game. And what scares me is I feel like the defensive matchups are out the window. And I feel like it's going to be offense the rest of the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was because I think, you know, Davante Adams, they kind of held him in check, even though he had 9 catches, right? Yeah. 9 catches for like 66 yards. But, you know, Davante Adams is like Diggs. He's going for $150. And I don't think there's anybody that can stop Davante Adams the rest of the way. I'm not so sure there's anybody that can stop Stephon Diggs the rest of the way. I'm not so sure. You know, actually, Green Bay's got some pretty good corners, but it seems like it's going to open up now. I think Baltimore wants to grind it out. The Rams wanted to grind it out. New Orleans wanted to grind it out. And now I feel like it's going to be open here this
Cleveland
weekend.
Cleveland wanted to grind it out.
Yeah. I just think the defensive teams are out, and now it's going to be just how many points can we score?
All right, 617-779-7937. We told you that Josh McDaniels is interviewing in Philadelphia. There may be one thing he must do and accept if he wants any chance at that job. We'll get into it coming up next right here on OMF.
I'm sticking with my original assessment of Josh Allen, and I'm here to co-sign once again for myself that he sucks.
Wait a minute.